Book of Mark, chapter 13, starting from verse 1.
And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Okay, now here we see, they ask the question, look at this beautiful building. One time, when Jesus Christ said, let's go to the Matthew chapter 12, verse 6. He says, greater than temple is here. So this time he didn't say this, but these people were thinking great about the temple and the temple building.
But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple.
This place means he's talking about Jesus Christ. He says, instead of saying, I'm greater than the temple, he says, someone is here, is greater than the temple. Verse 42. Matthew 12, verse 42.
The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Now, Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon and greater than the temple. And so this time he did not say, why are you looking at the temple? I am greater than the temple. But he answered them, you seeing all these stones very fitly together, but the day is coming and each and every stone will be taken off and there won't be any stone on the top of each other. They will all be thrown down. Mark chapter 13, verse 3.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them.
Now here they ask a simple question. It was not an easy answer, and they would not know what he is trying to say. In this chapter there are several subjects are coming. He did not say exactly the date or exactly the month, or when this temple will be destroyed. But I learned this temple was destroyed. What Jesus Christ is trying to tell these people, he was not just telling when the temple will be destroyed, he was telling when he will be coming back. So he was saying, those days somebody will, crisis here, crisis there, so don't follow. When they take you to the synagogue or the council, don't be afraid. Don't think what you're going to say. Don't even practice what you're going to say. But the Holy Spirit will give you the right answer for the testimony against those people. And so this thing happened right away when Jesus Christ died and rose again and went to heaven, and the disciples start preaching. Peter was put in a jail several times, and James was killed, and many disciples were scattered. And so this thing did happen. They took him to the synagogue, they took him to the council, they told him to not to preach the gospel, but they kept on doing it. They were thinking at that particular time, as Christ said, it can happen any time. They did not know what the real time is. And so that was a very good message Jesus Christ gave without giving the dates or time. And so verse 10, he says, the gospel must first be preached. Please read. Verse 10.
And the gospel must first be published among all nations.
When you say first preach, must be preached or published, that means preaching or printing or any form, gospel should be preached before Jesus Christ comes. So those people really, really start thinking, we have to hasten of Jesus Christ's coming. So they kept on preaching and they kept on going to different places. And we see in the book of Acts, first of all, even the Jesus Christ told them, according to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you will be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. But they were still not going anywhere. Then something happened. The Saul started killing Christians and destroying Christians and pulling out of their houses and killing. And then he took the permission to go to Damascus. There were some Christians there, to kill them and put them in a jail. That's the time Philip went to Samaria and started preaching, and all other disciples then scattered because of the fear of Paul. The verse was given that you should be my witnesses around the world. And this verse, chapter 13, verse 10, also said the gospel must be preached all over the nations. They were not doing that fast, but when Saul was persecuting, then by the grace of God, they start preaching the gospel. And then Paul was called, and he started going to the heathen nations, and the gospel was preached. And the word of God says in the book of Acts, we learn, people start saying to Paul and Silas and Paul or Barnabas, these people are coming here, these people made world upside down. That means this much the gospel was preached and everyone knew who Jesus Christ was in that particular world. But now the world is expanding, people are getting houses in every corner of the world, and the languages are multiplied. People still make their own dialect on more languages. Hundreds and thousands of languages are there, and the Bible is printed in many, many languages. Still there are people sitting in some corner of the world and they don't have a Bible in their own language, and still people are working and making the Bible in their languages. So this word is saying gospel must first preach. So it didn't say if you can, preach, if you don't, must. So each and every person should know this is the command. And the people don't take literally. Many people think, oh, it's not my job. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a paid servant. I'm not going to do it. Let the pastor do pastor job. It's not a pastor job. Each and every believer who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that is their duty to tell others what Jesus Christ is all about to them. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 13, verse 11.
But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost.
Okay, this is a very, very comforting word. Sometimes you go to court. Sometimes people unexpectedly ask you questions. Sometimes they will drag you to somewhere. You don't have to be afraid. God will give you grace. If somebody is asking us about Bible or about Jesus and about your salvation, we don't have to worry. Jesus Christ will give the right answer. Sometimes you read the Bible, and when somebody's asking you a question, even though you didn't memorize, that scripture will come to your mind. And you say, wow, I read this for a long time ago, and I was not even thinking about the scriptures. So the word of God says, the scriptures will come to you. I never memorized scriptures. I learned the Bible teaching and telling others. When you take that scripture several times, giving to several people, automatically it registers in your head. You don't have to sit there and say John 3:16. You don't know what it is in John 3:16. You're not practicing what you're going to say. We depend on the Holy Spirit, depend on God as we study the Word. It was like a surprise to me why it takes 15 to 20 hours for somebody to prepare a subject for talking half an hour. Then I came to know now what the people do. When they want to preach, they will say what the author said, what the Billy Graham said, what this person said, and they get quotes from so many places, so many people, so they have to read so many books and write so many quotes, and when they start making the sermon, it will take 15 hours or 10 hours or 5 hours. But if you reading the Bible, studying the Word, and then it is not difficult for us what to preach. There was a one preacher with me, and each time he would say, Brother Peter, I don't have a message. Could you give the message today? And I was young, so I said, oh, sure, I will give the message. When I give the message in half an hour or so, he will then pull my shirt and he said, now stop it, I got the message. And then when I preach half a sermon, then he will expand on that subject and finish. So he was doing every Sunday. And when I said, why you don't get the message? And he said, well, I don't read the Bible as much as you read. And so he gave me a chance to go and start Bible studies and different churches. I used to go. God gave me grace to, within a 1 week, have 4 meetings. And one meeting, we have some open meetings and this and that. God gave me grace to study the Word. And that's why I told people many, many times, you woke me up from the sleep and say, today I have to go a certain place and preach. I would never say, why didn't you give me notice? Why didn't you tell me earlier? The Bible says, be ready, season, out of season, and every time. Every time we should be ready, and we should not be afraid what to preach, because we are depending on Holy Spirit. Okay, Mark 13, verse 12.
Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Now see, when somebody reads these two scriptures, they might be thinking, hey, why we need this Christianity? If I become a Christian, or if I follow Christ, my brother will hate me, my father or my mother will kill me. I don't want this kind of religion. And he says, for my name's sake, everybody will be hating you around the world. But he says, endure unto the end. Now, this gives a very good example to the people who believe in eternal security, or once you saved, saved forever. Here he says, you cannot say, I got saved, and now I'm not doing anything, and I'm just hiding for myself, and I don't preach, I don't testify, I don't tell anybody I'm Christian. That's not a Christianity. He says, endure unto the end. Means we have to keep on doing what we're doing until the end of our life or until Jesus Christ comes. And so somebody would say, I don't see anybody's father killing son and brother killing brother or family member killing each other. We just heard the other day, one girl became a Christian and her own parents wants to kill her. And there are so many people are killing their sons and daughters because they believe Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Even the Sadhu Sundar Singh, when this Punjabi man became a Christian and they give him poison and his friend died and he didn't die. So they came to know, he came to know that my parents gave me poison. But thank God this man was a good believer and he suffered a lot for Christ's sake and whole family got saved. And so this is Christianity. Once you know we are living for Christ and when we die, we go to heaven. We don't have to kill somebody to get 70 virgins in heaven or something like that. That's not a God's purpose. We testify, we live for Christ, and if you die for Christ, we are going to make it to heaven. So the fear of death should be taken away. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. He has given us power, love, and sound mind. Once we're serving the Lord, and when we fill with the Holy Spirit, we are completely sold out to Jesus Christ. The fear doesn't come. I'm telling from my own experience. The places I went to India, now if I say, people don't believe and they will say, you're foolish to do this. But I was inspired by the Spirit of God to go to Muslim mosque and preach, going to Hindu temple and preach, going to Hindu convention, and all the Hindu people are standing there and go and preach. And now it looks like impossible, but I did it without a fear. I had not slight fear that somebody will kill me. And then not only that, some places they told me, don't go to this town because they kill all the pastors and Europeans and Americans. But I went to those places too. If I was married, I don't think anybody will allow me to go. But now, sometimes you have to listen to your wife. My wife would say, listen to Sarah. Okay, so here the Word of God is saying, we have to preach the gospel. No matter somebody kills you, no matter somebody try to destroy you, this fear should not come to our mind. If somebody denies Christ, he's not going to make it. Other day somebody told me, the man was a pastor, as a Christian, and he denied Christ, and he went to the cult and started worshiping devil, and he died, and then some pastor came for the funeral, and they said, he died because God cut his life short, otherwise he would have gone to hell. What do you mean otherwise? He already did the hellish things on earth, denying Jesus Christ. How much he has to do to go to hell? He was already his road to hell. Hear the Word of God say, endure until the end. You cannot say, one day I'm saved, another day unsaved, and then I will be saved again. You don't have time to play game with God, because our time is precious and life is very short. Okay, let's go back to the Mark chapter 13, verse 14.
But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains.
See now, the disciples simply asked the question, what will happen to this building? And he says, building will be destroyed, every stone will be thrown out. And then they ask the timing. And he will be talking to later on. But here, this scripture is given. It is not going to happen in front of our eyes, because Jesus Christ is going to take the church. This is going to happen in the great tribulation. It's not going to happen today or tomorrow. The church has to be gone before this thing happens. I'll give you a couple of verses to read. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31.
And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate.
Verse 36 to 38, same chapter.
And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all.
Okay, now when he is saying he will not recognize the real God, he will not have desire for women, means he doesn't have a desire for the wife or woman, and so maybe he has a desire for something else. So that's the kind of Antichrist or the demonic person will be persecuting the children of Israel. Okay, now verse 38.
But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things.
Now from this, sometimes he thinks he doesn't believe in God, he doesn't believe in a God who created heavens and earth, but he will be making his own God. Only nation today worshipping the heathen gods is India. And there are other religions, but India has 33 million gods. And in the kings of the East, they say when the Indian people gather together and come and join with this Antichrist, I don't know. And so he will be taking one of their gods, or he can make his own image, or he can make other gods and worship them with the silver, gold, and precious stones. And this is what this Antichrist will do. You are in Daniel, go to the 9th chapter. And verse 26 and 27.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Okay, now here we see the Antichrist. First he comes like a good guy. Bible says in Revelation, he doesn't come with a bow and arrow. He comes with a bow alone, means no weapon. And so he's tried to be friendly with so many nations, and we are seeing these European Union people going to every nations and trying to be friendly even with the Israeli people. The Word of God says they are going to make a covenant with Antichrist, make a covenant with the children of Israel for 1 week, and then middle of the week, means 7 years. They are talking a week, but we are talking 7 years. And middle of the 7 years, he will be breaking that covenant, and then he is going to destroy their temple, a new built temple, and try to do the demonic things what we read a couple of chapters before. This is what's going to happen, and he will mesmerize some Jewish people to telling them, I am your real Messiah. Because Jesus Christ says, somebody say, I am Christ, and so don't look for him here and there. So Messiah means Christ. So they will be believing this Antichrist as their own Messiah. But when he start destroying their temple or making unholy or doing an abominable thing in the temple, that's the time real Jewish people will come to know that he is not their Messiah. Okay, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 15.
And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be.
Now see, Jesus is saying, affliction, or the persecution, or the tribulation, or the trials coming to Israeli people in the end time, he says that kind of trial never came from the beginning of the world, and it will not come after also. But this is terrible. In the tribulation, people will be asking for death, and death will not come. And they will be having lots of sorrow, lots of pain. And then he's saying, when the Antichrist will coming after them, we learned in Book of Daniel, he will be sending the flood to destroy them. But in Revelation, the Word of God says, God opened the earth and the flood was swallowed. So God will protect his people. And then God is saying, now when this thing happens, you run to the mountain and escape. Don't go inside your house, or don't go here or there. Just run to the mountain. And then he says, if those days, the ladies who are pregnant or feeding the babies, it will be difficult for them to carry the baby or run or pregnant and running, it will be difficult. So he is trying to say the days are horrible days are coming, and so it will be difficult. When I was in India and reading this verse, I didn't understand anything. He says your running should not be in the winter. Verse 18 says, pray that your flight be not in the winter. And so I was thinking, what is difficult winter? Because in Bombay city, winter means not that heavy. We just wear a sweater or without a sweater, winter time. And so I thought, what is a big deal about this winter? But when I came here, then I came to know, how are you going to run when the snow is up to your thigh? Then I understood why Jesus is saying, pray that your running should not be in a winter time. And so that makes sense. And then he says, this kind of affliction never came before. So that's why it's called great tribulation. Your own brothers and sisters and your father will kill you. Book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, when we are born again, God sends his angel to minister to us. We do not have to worry. This great tribulation is not even started. This tribulation is ordinary tribulation going around the world. We saw the problem in China. We saw problem in India for a while. We saw problem in Pakistan. We saw problem in Russia. That is not a great tribulation. The great tribulation, he says, you never heard about it before, from the beginning of the creation of the world, and you will not hear after that. So the great tribulation is coming after the church is taken to heaven. Okay, go to the Mark chapter 13, verse 20.
And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days.
See, there are 3.5 years, very bad persecution. He says, no flesh will be saved, but God is going to shorten the days. I don't know now the day is 24 hours. I don't know how God is going to shorten. Only God knows. But God will protect his people. Devil cannot kill every one of them. Okay, so let's read verse 21.
And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect.
Now, this scripture is saying that false Christ and false prophets will come and do the signs and wonders and seduce people. And these scriptures took the Baptist people, and when the Pentecostal and full gospel people start healing and doing miracles and signs and wonders, they start saying, oh, stay away from these people. This is what the Bible says. No, this is what the false Christ saying against Christianity, doing the evil things and doing signs and wonders and turning them from Christianity to some other religion. Those are the people we should be staying away, not the Christian prophet and Christian preachers and Christian miracle workers. But the people took this kind of thing and tried to scare people. Some people got mixed up. When you preach about healings and miracles and God can do miracles, they're thinking you are this false prophet and you are the false Christ. The Word of God says, on earth we are his hands, his feet, and we are his workers on earth. Jesus Christ is not bodily here. We are bodily working for Christ. So the people do not believe in healings and miracles. They will take the scriptures and tell you, this is the Bible, there is no prophets, and there is no healing and miracles, is already gone. And they don't believe in even the more than 12 apostles. But the Bible says, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11, many apostles, not 12, many. Okay, let's go back. Mark 13, 23, okay.
But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken.
Okay, now, we don't have much time to give you all details. Okay, I was just saying we don't have time, but you want to know more about this chapter, go to the Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21. Mark, everything writes in short. Luke and Matthew, they expand. And so you can get the more story in book of Matthew and book of Luke. But here he's saying, verse 24, but in those days, after that the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Go to Zephaniah chapter 1, 15.
That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness.
Thick darkness. So the time is coming, will be darkness, but this says after the tribulation. What's going to happen is says the so much darkness and there won't be any light. Moon is not going to give light and sun is not going to give the light. So you can see how the horrible day will be. Now we are living in 21st century, and if they cut your electricity for a couple of hours, how frustrated we get. And if it is the middle of the night, we won't be walking on the street. But this is a thick darkness. When they were in Egypt, one place sunshine, one place darkness. And so they know what the darkness, thick darkness is all about. When those kind of things will happen, go back to the Mark, verse chapter 13, verse 25. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in shaken shall be shaken from the heaven. Means all the heaven get loose. And the word of God said in those days, there will be a hailstorm, and one ice cube will be 100 pounds. Can you imagine how much problem will be in that time? So those are the things coming. And go to the book of Mark chapter 13, verse 26.
And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory.
Now, see, in this chapter, you never saw Jesus Christ is saying, I will come and take my bride or take my church. Didn't say anything in this chapter. You will not see in Matthew, you will not see in Luke. And so that's why many, many churches do not believe that church will be raptured. They are thinking the church will go through the tribulation because Jesus didn't say it here. But when Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and by the Holy Spirit they understood what's going to happen. That's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, St. Paul explains Jesus Christ will come, dead in Christ will rise, and when we are alive, we will be transformed and we will be caught up or gone with Jesus Christ. And that is going to happen before the tribulation. Now here is saying, end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ is coming. So that means there are two phases of Jesus Christ coming. One, he comes for the bride, and second time he comes for the Israeli people. That time he's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. First time he comes secretly. Only church is going to hear the trumpet sound, not the world, and the church will be gone. That's the time the tribulation starts. That's why some of the people do not believe in rapture, because this is the scripture they read in the early age when they were young, that stuck in their mind, and so they don't believe in a rapture. But there are so many other denominations, including some Pentecostal and some Baptists, they believe in rapture. And the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ will come. And you can see those people will be really, really looking for him to come at that particular time. Okay, start reading from verse 27.
And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven.
Now, see, in this verse also, it's a little bit complicated verse. He says, when he comes, he will gather all the people from all corners of the world and from heaven and from earth. And from when you read this, when this is going to happen. Now, when Jesus Christ comes, first he comes, take the church. 7 years later, after the tribulation, he comes. As soon as he comes, 19th chapter of Revelation, he says he will come. First thing he does, catch the Antichrist, who was doing all this trouble, catch him and the false prophet and put them alive in the lake of fire. And they bind the devil and put him, that's in chapter 20, Revelation, and put him in a bottomless pit and cover that pit whole. And then chain him and throw him there in bottomless pit. Means he will be keep on falling, and he cannot land for 1,000 years. 1,000 years when the Jesus Christ reign finish, 1,000 years, then the devil will be loose again. You have to read in the book of Revelation chapter 20. When he will loose, some people say, why had to loose again? The devil was already tied and put in a bottomless pit. But he will be loose again. So he goes back again to the whole world and gets all these, Gog and Magog, Russians and all other armies, and coming back again to fight with the children of God. Then the word of God says, and the devil will be cast into the lake of fire where the Antichrist and false prophets are, and they will be there burning for eternity. And after that, the white throne judgment. On the judgment time, people who died and went to heaven, those people will be there. And the people who were not Christian and they died and they were already buried, those people will be resurrected. And every corners of the world, people will be gathered together for the judgment. But the 1,000 years reign, those people will not be resurrected. In 1,000 years, only the church, only the believers, and the Jewish people who were alive at that particular time, those people will be there. But after the 1,000 years, then all these dead people be resurrected for the judgment. And that's what he's trying to say. Okay, let's read verse 28.
Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Now when these scriptures people read, I'm talking about the scholars. And when they say, when he gave the parable about fig tree, the fig tree represents the Israeli nation. So when they say fig tree blossoms, then is the time of the beginning. Means that's the generation starts. And then the people start saying 1948, Israeli people got their freedom. That means the tree already blossomed. And so they start counting a generation as a 40 years. And that's why 1988, the world is going to end and this and that we heard in 1988. That was because they calculate a 40 years as a one generation. But I was not agree with these people because I was telling other people, including my family, I said, and God told Abraham, your descendant will be going to Egypt, and after the fourth generation, I will bring them out. Actually, 430 years later, the children of Israel came out of here. So, generation is not 40 years, but 100 years. If you calculate that, 1948 to 2048 will be the one generation when this Israeli people got their freedom or Jewish nation was born. So the point I'm making, I'm not setting the date, but the word of God says, heaven and earth will pass away, but whatever I say, it's not going to pass away. That means whatever he said, in generation, there will be generation. What Jesus Christ said, it will take place. So here we are learning that whatever the study we are doing, about the tribulation, about the signs and wonders and miracles. Everything is in this one chapter. It is very difficult for the layman or the ordinary believer or a young pastor to know all of these things because it's so many subjects in this one chapter. Okay, let's read verse 32.
But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father.
Now in this scripture, Jehovah's Witnesses or anybody reads, or even the ordinary Christians they read, they says Jesus doesn't know, then Jesus may be not a God. Jesus gave this example when he was on earth. But Jesus Christ said, when the Holy Spirit will come, he will guide you or lead you and tell you the things to come. And so God is going to reveal. So Jesus Christ, when he goes to heaven with his Father, then God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all equal. When you're studying about the Holy Spirit, he says, I will go to my Father, I will tell my Father, and then my Father will send the Holy Spirit. And then he says, my Father promised, and if I don't go, I cannot send the Holy Spirit. And they work together. He could not give the time to these people. They would ask, give me the time. You remember there is another scripture we read a couple of weeks ago. John and James, even their mother said, I want my son to sit, one son at your right and one son at your left. What Jesus said, it's not in my hand, it's in Father's hand. But when you read in Revelation, he says differently. He says, if you overcome, I will give authority to sit at my right hand. So in Revelation, he's talking about when Jesus Christ is coming, and John saw, he didn't see him ordinary person. He saw like a fully God. And that's why Jesus Christ had the full authority to say what he wanted to say at that particular time. But this time he was in earthly body, so he could not say much more. Okay, verse 33.
Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find ye sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.
Okay, now go back to the Matthew 24 and start reading from verse 42 to 51. Matthew explains a little bit better than the Mark.
Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
See, Matthew gives in a little bit more in detail that if the master gave somebody authority and say, I'm going and then I'll come back. And so do the things what I told you. Just like last Sunday we finished the St. John chapter 21. And here Jesus said to Peter, follow me. And he says, then he was following, and then he said, what will happen to the John? He says, you follow me. Don't worry about John. So he said, feed my lamb, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. So what he's trying to say, now we are just like a higher servant. Jesus was the master. He went to heaven. He says, I'm coming back. And the people are saying, he's not coming back, so just do whatever you want to do. And some of the churches, they don't believe it. And the pastors start drinking and dancing and do all kinds of evil things. So he said, what will happen? They say, oh, he's not coming, and so we don't know when he's coming. And start doing whatever you want to do instead of being a believer. He said, he will come and destroy them and put them in a hell. So what he's trying to say, watch and pray. We don't know when the time is, so we should be watching like he might be coming today. He might be coming tonight. He says morning, afternoon, midnight, or any time. So he's coming. So we have to be ready. Okay, shall we rise? We are going to pray. We finished already. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have given us grace to be like you and to follow you. And so your word says, if you don't do that way, the sudden destruction will come. So give us grace to follow you. Bless each and everyone. And as we depart from here, give us grace and safety. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.